Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody know who Willie Lynch was? Anybody? Raise your hand. No one? He was a vicious slave owner in the West Indies. The slave masters in the colony of Virginia were having trouble controlling their slaves, so they sent for Mr. Lynch to teach them his methods. The word lynching came from his last name. His methods were very simple, but they were diabolical. Keep the slave physically strong, but psychologically weak and dependent on the slave master. Keep the body, take the mind. I and every other professor on this campus are here to help you to find, take back, and keep your righteous mind. Because obviously, you have lost it.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lock.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good afternoon, folks. Listen, don't be shocked, don't be scared. We are airing Tuesday, 4 p.m., not on Wednesday. Things do change. Only for the elite, folks, only for the elite and the esteemed will we change our schedule around. So once again, we are expecting NC Light, a.k.a. Lana Mora, to grace our studios. Again, NC Light is expected to come in a few moments. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. We are expecting a lyrical icon to grace our studio. So feel free to buzz in with your questions. We have some questions for her as well. Her time is limited, but we do appreciate her coming through. In the interim, let's play a little bit of NC Light's music. Real hip-hop, folks. Who would have thunk it? Nowadays, you may not get this, but we do play classical hip-hop here on Afro Radio. This is Paper Thin. Hold on, folks. We'll be right back. Hold up. That's not Paper Thin. Let's try this one more time. Okay, hold on, folks. There you go.
Say you love me, it doesn't matter, it goes into my head as just chit chatter. You may think it's egotistical or just very free, but what you say, I take none of it seriously. And even if I did, I wouldn't tell you so. I'd let you pretend to read me, and then you'd know. Cause I hate when one attempts to analyze. In fact, I despise those who even try to look into my eyes to see what I am thinking. That dream is over, your yacht is sinking. I tell all of you, like I told all of them, what you say to me is just paper thin. To try to play a man out, I take the money and again, then break the hell out. No, that's not my strategy, not the game I play. I admit I play a game, but it's not done that way. Truly, when I get involved, I give it my heart. I mean, my mama sold my body, I mean, every part. But if it doesn't work out, yo, it just doesn't. It wasn't meant to be, you know, it just wasn't. So I treat all of you like I treat all of them, and what you say to me is still paper thin. In one ear and right out the other, hurdles mumble jumble. Lover, I don't pay attention, I don't concentrate. You ain't got the bait that it takes to hook this. tackle you, miss. I put feelings aside. I know who I am. My name is Light. Is your name Sam? Cause if it is, step off. Grab your coat and get lost. Wrap your scarf around your throat and go back and catch the boat and hit the road, Sam. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Sam. Don't you come back no more. So now I take from horses and shoes of my mate. I do not touch until the third or fourth date. Then maybe your kiss on the fifth or sixth time that we meet. Cause a date without a kiss is so incomplete. And then maybe I let you play with my feet. You can suck the big toe and play with the middle. It's so simple, unlike a riddle. It's as easy as counting a 1, 2, 3. In other terms, letters L-Y-T-E. I'll tell you, 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 and all of you in the back.
Folks, that was Paper Thin by MC Light. Just, I had to pull out the phasers there. I wanted to give you a skosh of authentic classic hip-hop. Incidentally, folks, I really do, I want to say just I, but the captain myself, we really do push the concept of using the term classic hip-hop. Actually, let me see if I can get the captain on in. I'm working the boards. So pardon me, I'm a little kefluffled as I work the boards. Okay, captain's got to be around here. Let's bring the captain in.
Listen, the captain has arrived. But even if you didn't have the board, the captain would defuse through the walls and enter in the studio. That's what the captain does. Let's get it started.
Yes, once again, folks, you're listening to Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk, the great, grandiose, indefatigable Captain Kirk. We're expecting an icon to Grace Star Studios, again, Ms. MC Light, a.k.a. Lana Moore. And she is to be applauded for her efforts in hip-hop. Right now, the hip-hop game is, I don't know what it is. This is why we need to speak to her, so maybe we can get some wisdom from her to explain what is going on. Plus, she's also involved in the Hip-Hop Sisters Network, so I want to know more about that. This might be Ms. Light now. Let me get my boards up, folks. Apologies again. And also the call-in number, remember, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Captain, this is why I need you here sometimes to help me with the boards because things start to move a little sluggishly. Let's try this. Ms. Light?
Most of my career, I've always been an entrepreneur.
Ms. Light?
I'm always on the lookout for something with enormous possibilities.
And hello? 516? Ms. Light?
Key leader and networker, so I'd like to speak with you about an opportunity that has all the key ingredients for true success. It's simple and it's easy.
You know, Captain, let me try this again.
Organization.
Hello, Ms. Light?
Emailed to you. Please leave me your email by calling 516. 6705.
You know what, Captain? I think. What is that?
I have no idea.
I have a number that has come up, but it's I don't have an infomercial or a joke or something. Let me try this one more time. Live radio, folks. These things do happen. Ms. Light? No, I went away. Okay, Captain, listen. Two times a charm. Let me go behind the scenes once again to see if we can get Ms. Light to come through. If not, still got a show to do.
All right, get into some music then. Let's get into some music.
Right, just let's try this once again. I thought that was pretty odd. We're having infomercials now on live radio. All right, this is the Bad Boy remix of MC Light. Hold on one moment, folks. We'll be right back.
I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. So what's your status? I'll be
I'm all ears. So what you got to say? I hope you're bubbling it, baby. Now bubbling it my way, let it rain. Ain't no sort up in the game. Still want you to sing. Ain't a thing changed. Instead of knocking boots, we be kicking down Gore-Tex. Except it ain't raw sex. Rough next. Throw your hands in the air. Let me hear you say, oh yeah. Trust you, me, I blow up shop. About to blow the roof right off of hip-hop. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body.
I'm the MISS, your best, best. From VAA, and I be smoking hay all day in the barn, damn it, darn. Puff Daddy be my pal when I hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee.
Yeah.
I took your number one spot, I jump, skip, then I hop. I'm so hot, so you can't forget me, not to the yes, yes, y'all. I'ma take a pause, cause I be feeling myself like I was T-Ball. Puff Daddy make him cream. The L-Y-T to the E make him scream. And I'ma show enough be the boss on this team. So all you MCs, how Mr. makes it green.
I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body.
That's
me, complicated rap star, meat like the MC. You see, I'm on to your baby and your mechanism. How you hit it when you're in it so hot to keep it sizzling. The ooh, I, she, ooh, and all of that too. Keep me wetted in the waters of Kalamazoo. Who you come in with when you pop the ass? Leave the boys alone, tell her you won't be back. I got the cheese, baby, my cheddar's better. I got that milk so that I'm a redder. Trust you, me, I'll blow up shop. Have a little nick calling the cops, watch. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body, body, body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body.
Okay, again, Cold Rock a Party, NC Light. I made the calls behind the scenes, and, you know, listen, it has happened to us on occasion once, Captain, never twice. Never twice. So, listen, I'm sure that this has happened to Howard Stern. This has happened to Don Imus. It can happen to Afro Nerd. So it is what it is, Captain. The show will go on. I will make one more attempt, or at least a discussion behind the scenes, but I still respect this young woman's accomplishments, but at the same time, we have a show to do, and we were trying to facilitate a platform for her to be heard. That's what we do. You know, we do talk about classic hip-hop, and I was going to go into this thing about getting off the term old school, Captain, because old school is, you know, you date yourself when you use the term old school. When you say classic, for those who are in the classic rock genre, classic rock means that it could be played at any moment in time, and it would still not lose a step. But when you say old school, is exactly what it implies. But I want to promote the term classic hip-hop, and she is representative of that. But unfortunately, it is what it is. It is what it is. Catherine, we still got a show to do. So there's still
right.
more topics.
Let's move to it.
Let's move forward. The call-in number, anyway, is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. A couple of things in the news. Actually, one thing that I want to talk about, we didn't get a chance to get into our Blue Area segment on the show from Sunday's show. And the Blue Area, for those who are who would represent the uninitiated, Blue Area signifies, from Marvel Comics lore, it is Afro Nerd Show, from Marvel Comics lore, the Blue Area, as in the Blue Area of the Moon, represents, in fiction, represents a section of the moon where fresh air can be breathed. You can breathe fresh air on the moon, fictionally, in the Marvel Universe, in the Blue Area. So sometimes we talk about, well, not sometimes, oftentimes we really get into serious subject matter. Everything isn't always jovial on Afro-Nerd Radio, but we do want to have a moment where we breathe fresh air, where we actually highlight folks of note that get it right. In particular, folks of color. Doesn't always have to be that way, but for specificity, we do get into mostly folks of color who get it right, that need to be applauded, whereas unfortunately your minstrel radio programming, they seem to have a problem with highlighting black folks of accomplishments, people of color of accomplishments. So we're going to do that now. There's two stories in particular. One is actually both are athletes. One is a basketball player, correct? It's a basketball player from the University of Kentucky, Terrence Jones. He facilitated some dental work for a friend/fan/fellow student who was in need, and because of his access, he was able to help this young man out with his appearance. So he had some dental issues. I think he had some teeth knocked out as a young man, his friend, and he was able to facilitate this man to get brand new teeth. So that is one thing. It's commendable. And on the other side of that is a Kyle Hicks. I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Kyle Hicks, who is a triple threat. He is a Olympic-level martial artist. He is a teen scholar. And he is also a pianist. So, you know, this guy can do it all. This young man can do it all. And yet, conventional radio, you're not really hearing words about these people. So we're going to do it here, but I think it's shameful. Let me see if I can find the clip. The clip's got to be around here somewhere. Let's see. Okay. This is Mr. Hicks, a.k.a. the Karate Kid, on the Blue Area. Hold on, folks. Just one second.
Austin comes to mind.
Bruce Lee didn't know how to play the piano, too, though. Sports director Aaron Levine rejoins us with a story of a teenage prodigy in the fine arts and the martial arts.
Yeah, it's really impressive stuff, guys. His name is Kyle Hicks, and he's taken the world by storm. And if he keeps it up, the Federal Way native might one day be a household name. Here's more.
They're soothing sounds formed by nimble and skillful hands as the notes on paper spring to life. 14-year-old Kyle Hicks displayed at a solo concert last year to prep to the World Championships in Malaysia. But when he got overseas, he wasn't exactly playing the piano.
I sort of wanted to do an extracurricular activity, and also the movie Karate Kid sort of inspired me, actually. You're the
just a karate black belt, but a three-year member of Team USA. He finished second at Worlds last year.
Really motivates me to train more, to be competing against people all the way from Africa and from Japan, places like that.
I think he has world championship ability. Absolutely.
In July, he'll head to Florida for the national championships, where he won two divisions and earned four medals total last year. And he's got the focus demonstrated by his 9 years in piano and seven in karate. Skills and academics too.
Both of them, you have to like just focus and be sort of relaxed at the same time. so you don't get too stressed out and mess up.
When I found out that he was not just a musician, but a really good one, I was just like a superhuman. You know, when do you sleep? You know, when do you eat?
The answer is when he's not excelling on the mat. And by all accounts, Kyle's got a long way to go.
He's been gifted with the musculature to actually pull off the fast, hard, fluid movements that some people, in their whole lifetime, they'll never have that, no matter how hard they work.
My goal is to go back to World Championships and get my first place, get first place in there.
Now, Kyle is hoping to make Team USA for the fourth time. If he makes it, he'll travel to Cancun at the end of August for the Junior Pan American Championships. This is one impressive kid.
Yeah.
And we mentioned the academic side of it as well. He's able to keep his grades up as well. I believe he was a freshman last year at Thomas Jefferson High School.
Wow.
It takes such determination and focus for him to keep up with his studies and do all of that.
That's
incredible. How does he find the time?
Exactly. How does anybody find the time to do all three of those?
Wow, that's great. Okay.
Cool. Call Ralph Macchio. Let's get him an introduction. That would be cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Perel, let's wrap it up with a look.
Okay, we're back. Once again, that was Kyle Hicks, young man that needs to be applauded, needs to be put out there of note, because he's 14 years of age. I thought it was interesting that one of the speakers referred to him as superhuman. You know, when you start to hear young folk that are able to multitask at that level, it is something, and I think it's something that needs to be encouraged. But unfortunately, you know, Captain, I don't know why we can't get this, what we're doing. Why is it that what we're doing here, trying to really highlight these young men and women when they do special things? I mean, it can't always be. It cannot always be where we highlight the dysfunctional. I mean, we do highlight the dysfunctional here to try to understand it. But it can't always be that way. It has to be a place where you tell these young men and women that you did it right. We appreciate you. And we look forward to see what you do in the future. You know, go forward, young man and young woman. You know, why can't we seem to get this going on as a practice?
Well, here's the situation. Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. We're here to offer the counterbalance to dimensional foolishness. What do I mean? How so, Captain? Well, what is that? Well, dimensional foolishness is the negativity that's constantly pumped, the constant negative memes that's pumped into the society. Baby mama drama, this one smoking weed, this one carrying a gun, this one getting into a fight, this one toting these drugs. Okay, that's nice at times for you to listen to, because that's what they want to put out there, but you need to act as a counterbalance. You know, I think you should know what the meaning of a counterbalance, otherwise you can look it up. So something such as the blue area is that type of counterbalance where we turn around and we feature people, what we call doing the quote-unquote right thing that everyone should be doing, trying to elevate yourself to a higher level, trying to lift yourself up, and also to mention, as they said, superhuman. If you ever get the chance to go to Nigeria, Africa, you will see young children multitasking on a regular basis. I know it's across the sea. They like to use the term across the pond, but it's actually the sea. You will see kids who are 9 years of age doing a lot higher mathematics than what they do here in this country at 9 years of age, speaking 3 and 4 different languages, learning to do different things. It's here in America that we have a tendency to go backwards. We devolve instead of evolve. Back over to you, Sir Afro-Nerd.
Yeah, definitely. Now I want to also highlight a young man. I don't have a clip for it, but it's really unnecessary in this case. Mr. Terrence, young master Terrence Jones, who plays basketball for the University of Kentucky. And how it goes down, actually I'm going to read this quickly. It's from KentuckySports.com. It says, 2 days before Terrence Jones expects to hear his name called in the first round of the NBA draft, he was helping put a giant smile on the face of a friend in Lexington, literally. With the aid of the former Kentucky forward, William Bolden, a 22-year-old UK basketball superfan who has developed a bit of a YouTube following with Wildcats-oriented videos posted under his nickname Stone Cold Willow, got extensive dental work at no cost to him. Included over the course of 8 dental appointments were 2 teeth pulled, 12 cavities were filled, and 3 new front teeth installed. This is one could say this is just a normal, small human interest story, but, you know, you have to – first of all, didn't you email this to my attention, Captain?
Yes, I did, sir. Yes, I definitely did. The reason why I thought it was of note, it was important,
is because what is the media normally pump? What are they normally putting out? They're putting out, this one is getting into a fight, this one's smoking weed, this one, he's just doing all type of things that they're not supposed to be doing. A negativity campaign. If it was a campaign for his negativity, they'd be doing very well. This is the antithesis, I repeat, antithesis of that. So that's why it's of note to act as a counterbalance, as I said before. We have certain things that's inculcated into the culture that we want to be able to reverse. Okay, so right here, because the internet is spinning, it's a fiber, and it could be used to push out certain means. We act as a counterbalance by changing these means. So it's very important that we highlight these individuals to help change the means throughout the black community, throughout the brown community, throughout America, and throughout the world. Back over to you, Seraph on Earth.
Yeah, it is necessary, Captain, that we do what we do. Somebody has to do this. And I'm thinking of, we spoke about Terrence Jones, and then when you balance it out, I don't know if you can balance it out, but I feel the need to do it. Based on Anthony Smith. Anthony Smith was a former Oakland Raider on defensive end, and coincidentally, he is the ex-wife of Denise Matthews, a.k.a. Vanity, of Prince's Vanity. He was married to Vanity in the mid-90s, and now he is being charged with four murders. He's already tried for one, and I believe that was that's going to be retried. But so now, he's up. Facing, four murder charges. I mean, that's amazing to me, to fall from grace. I mean, you were playing for the Oakland Raiders. You were married to one of the most beautiful women in the world. And now you're up, talking about O.J. This guy doubled O.J. as far as, allegedly. I just think that when you hear these kind of stories where they're so over the top, we need to make it our business to really emphasize that not everyone in any facet of any vocation is doing this. Whether it's in music, entertainment, politics, professional life, what have you. We have to emphasize that people are not conducting themselves like this, and they're not always hemmed up. And it's something that you just to dovetail on what you said before, Captain. And as far as you looking out on this story for Terrence Jones, a lot of it had to do, I would think, also that it was a selfless act. On occasion, when you do see some of these sports folks, some of these entertainers, they come off very selfish. They don't come off as if they are really sacrificing anything. It's all about me, 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 me. So when this young man looked out for this other young man, helping him out with his appearance is it's directly tied to self-esteem. If you have a nice, bright smile, or you feel comfortable with yourself, you do better. I mean, that's statistics are on that. So I thought it may seem like it's a very minor human interest story, but I had to applaud. I thought it was very commendable. Captain, we still have more show to go through. We're at the midway point. Again, folks, you're listening to Afner featuring Captain Kirk. It's around 4:28. Normally we would be here on a Wednesday at 7 p.m., but we were expecting for round two, we were expecting NC Light to grace our studios. I don't know what happened. They, in all honesty, they did apologize profusely the first time, but now we're on round two. We still have a show to do. So, hey, this stuff happens. It happens. So, anyway, quick musical break. When we return, we have more show. This is actually from a mixtape with Amy Winehouse and Nas. This is a song called A Song for Nas. Nas and Amy Winehouse. Let's groove.
I've been so many places. Down. I saw a light and sound. I'm breathing there. About the life, my life is fading. With 10,000 people.
Yo, I need an encore, y'all. You should welcome me back. You want a ball till you fall, I can help you with that. You want beef, I can let a slug melt in your hat. Cause I'm a wild barbarian, too hard and scaring them. Century 21 solar eclipse. While you listen to the words that I wrote on the list, felonious, my description is do-rag. Pants sag down to my feet, AK is my heat. A day in the street, till I lay 6 feet. QB, DJs, and we playing for keeps. Unity, cars, and jeeps is my motto. Four fives with the hollows, silencers on the nozzles, pop bottles for those who left here. The best years, we in the bulletproof best years. The aim for the head and chest years. What's your name? Make your name known for the next year. Better rap years. I lick that niggas, bang my shit before Saddam hits. Let Nostradamus tell us what time it is. I was the first one on that Dawn shit. First nigga to sing a hook on some CJ Swan shit. Black key mask up in the project. Camouflage full clips. Run up in your crib, top your bitch. Wear the bricks and we loco. So broke, brown coke won't sell. Spending your money on weed smoke in hotels. Hood rats and bullet wound up females. Got babies for hustlers and niggas in jail. Slinging for chips to fiends with burnt fingertips. Bass heads kill cab drivers just for a hit. A week later, sporting gators getting thrills. My honey's wearing Gucci high heels. She come to scoop me, I chill. Lead the streets alone for a sec. Hit the sky bar and sunset. And the sex is so high tech.
Okay, we're back. Once again, that was from a special Amy Winehouse Nas mixtape, a song for Nas. Yeah, I was listening very close. I wasn't, I have a little bit of a problem when they start getting to expletives, Captain, but as you listen to the song, he was getting poignant about what he was seeing. So there was a point I was like, uh-oh, this is going to ruin our thing. You know, I'm not into vulgarity, really, but it's hard to avoid vulgarity in a lot of these songs, but I thought what he was saying lyrically was poignant. But before you got there, you were hearing some of the stuff. I was like, okay, where's he going with this? But it was a tight record. I will admit to that. It was a tight record. Again, folks, Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, the call-in number is 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. We were expecting MC Light, round two, did not go down. This is the first time twice where we've had difficulty with a guest. Normally, you know, in all fairness, Captain, our shows normally go off without a hitch. Very rarely is there an issue with a guest. But listen, these things happen. I don't know. You know, we've had Melvin and George.
Didn't we have a problem before with one gentleman who has an afro who was supposed to stop by? I don't want to call his name, you know. We had a situation one time before.
Who was that?
Is it an afro or is it a dread afro that he has right now? You know the journalist.
Okay. All right. I had no problem saying who's who. Yeah, Torre.
Okay.
You know, and you know, listen, I don't want to disparage people, but word on the street is that you might get some folks that are a little bit difficult when these things happen. You know, don't be shocked if this kind of thing happens. So it is what it is. I'm not really been out of shape about it. We have a lot more guests to get to. Diane Carroll, we reached out to her. Stanley Crouch. I mean, there's a lot of heavyweights. And we've gotten a lot of heavyweights. And we will continue to get heavyweights, Captain. It's not even a problem. It's just that, you know, I'm more concerned for our audience. Our audience, they get excited about this kind of stuff. And I'm not comfortable in letting folks down. But, hey, tis life. All right.
One more thing.
Sure.
One more thing before we get into it. Now, back to that record. It had no choice but to be tight because you had Nas on there rapping. Nas is a lyrical genius. There's nothing more to talk about. You had no choice. Even if you left the music out of it and you just let Nas go, you're going to get something out of it. It is what it is. That's what they're lacking today. But it's hard to do like Nas anyway, in regards to what era, whether it was 88 or 2012. It is what it is. Back over to you, Sir Afro-Nerd.
Yeah, definitely. Doing a quick turnaround, we spoke about this behind the scenes briefly, Captain. Something that I thought was funny. A friend of the show, Sergio Mims, is out there listening. And I think of him as well as this statistic from BASEP. I always joke because I begrudgingly do walk through the halls of BASEP and of Media Takeout. And I think that Sergio is less apprehensive about admitting that he goes to these websites. I hate to go there, to these websites. These websites are just a deluge. Oh, it's a cyber ghetto. It's a deluge of madness. You know, it's always someone's on the swirl. Swirl, of course, is a, you know, swirl is the colloquialism or the code for interracial dating. I mean, we're in the 21st century, and they have to highlight it. You know, it is. Hey, folks, take umbrage with us, Captain, when we use terms like lower tier. But it is lower tier. Every 2 minutes, you have to bring out or highlight that someone who is black is dating someone who is of another ethnicity. You don't even have to be a white person. It could be a person of Latin descent or a person of Asian descent. That's called the swirl too. I mean, these are human beings. You know, this isn't 1960. So anyway, that's just one thing. It's always the swirl this or a gutful. Someone's pregnant and they don't say this person is with child. So-and-so is holding a gutful of so-and-so. A gutful. It's very guttural, very ignorant, and it promotes that. Anyway, I'm going through the halls. I'm jogging through the cyber ghetto once a game. And they are taking note of an issue regarding police killing, the killing of black folk by policemen. And there's a study. Now, there's a study that says, reading it directly from the site, study shows that police kill black persons every 40 hours. Let me repeat that. A study shows that the police are killing black people or killing a black person every 40 hours. Now, in true Captain Kirk fashion, his first question is, well, who conducted this study? It shows that the study was conducted by this outfit referred to as the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement. The Malcolm X Grassroots Movement. Now, let me. I don't want to say, hey, I will often refer to the Pew Research Center. Someone will say, well, what, the white man's math is better? Not even about that. I know how to predict some of these critiques, Crafton. I know how to predict what they're going to say. I am a great fan and supporter of Malcolm X. Let me say that first of all. I've mentioned Malcolm X numerous times on this show. And if anything, Malcolm X, in the conservative tradition, if you want to be honest, was not about victimization. If anyone is familiar with his speech, go to YouTube. There's plenty of Malcolm X footage. And he is against black folks wallowing. He will acknowledge the victimization. He will acknowledge the victimization, but he will not allow us to wallow in it. So don't let I want folks to know I'm not hating because of the name of the movement. It's entitled Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, that they've conducted this study. But let's get into the let's read what they're saying here. Report on extrajudicial killings of 110 black people since January 1st, 2012. Every 40 hours in the United States, one black woman, man, or child is killed by the police and by a smaller number of security guards and self-appointed vigilantes. These are the startling findings of a new report on extrajudicial killings of black people released July 9th, 2012. What motivated the round-the-clock research of this new report? More than 2 years ago, on New Year's Eve, police killed two innocent men, Oscar Grant in Oakland, Adolph Grimes in New Orleans, and shot Robert Tolan in a Houston suburb. Based on research started in 2009 after those murders, we learned there were a lot more killings that had not yet been uncovered. Then after Trayvon's murder, there was a huge public outcry and a few headlines about more killings, more grieving families, and more calls for investigation. Further research became urgent, and it demonstrated that Trayvon's death was not an isolated tragedy. Between January 1st, 2012, and June 30th, 2012, at least 110 black people were killed by police and their deputies. All right. Again, you can check that out at BOSIP.com. Captain, I want you to take the helm on this before, you know, because I'm going to sound like a broken MP3 file, but...
All right, this is what I'm not even going to
dispute the stats on this per se. But Captain, go ahead.
Now, this is what I'm going to say. What people have to understand here in Americas, the law actually works different for different people. Hello, you probably did know that. It's supposed to work the same for everybody, but it does not. What does that mean? If you look at the prison system, most of the people that are in prison, they don't have a high school diploma, okay? So that tells you right there, the more educated you are, the less likely you are to enter into a prison system. And then one can theorize that you push your education further, the less likely you are to get harassed by police. Now let's look at this further. It's the same thing goes for white people also, too. Okay, not just black people. It goes that way for white people also. The more educated, the more money that they have, the less likely they are to run into a situation. Yes, we know that, you know, poverty breeds a messed up situation. We definitely know this. But they have a term for the quote-unquote white people who don't have anything. They call them white trash. White trash, though they don't like to show it, you know, on drugs, different type of things, trailer park and all this other type of stuff. They run into situations. You go to Oklahoma, a lot of white people are locked up there. Believe it or not, they're not showing it, but it's the truth. So the reality of it in a situation such as this, certain type of black people are, it's not a blanket statement, certain type of black people are getting hemmed up by the police. Now, should the police use a blanket statement? No. No. What happens to the person, the hardworking black man who's going about their business? They get caught up by the shrapnel, by the person who's really doing the dirt. So what police turn around and do, because they can't make discernment, you understand, they group everybody up into one situation. I'm not saying that's right, because that's not what you're supposed to do. Everyone's an individual. But this is what the police are doing. So being that, in a perfect world, everyone's supposed to get the same chance, equal opportunity. That's not the case. The police officer automatically just says, okay, you're the one. You look like this, you're dressed this way, you're looking like this, you're doing this. There you go. This is what they do. So in turn, what you have to do, because they're not giving you the opportunity, you have to somewhat distance yourself by this. Now, it's not just as simple as getting educated, because you cannot tell two people who are pointing guns at each other that they got to get educated. That's like speaking Chinese to a person that only understands English. It's a waste of time. That is a cultural situation. That is a cultural situation why these individuals do not have certain things going on. So the culture is not getting educated. It is the culture has to change. So ultimately, that is the issue. So once again, certain type of people,
certain type of people, okay, are getting hemmed up definitely by the police. And every now and then, if you're the person, the quote-unquote does the right thing, the highly educated person, black male, brown person, you will get caught with the shrapnel too, because you might be coming through that neighborhood. You might have a couple of friends that are doing certain things. You get caught with the shrapnel too. But if you check it out from a statistical analysis, you just have to look right there in the prison. Okay? Look who's in there. Okay? Chances are, if you have a high school diploma or better, you're not in the prison. Back over to you, Sir Afflener. Expound on it a little bit further.
Yeah, you know, going into what you were just talking about, the article does go into this whole thing, this whole blanket thing about cross-victimization. I should say cross-tier victimization. It says blatantly, I'm reading this verbatim, the report shows how people of African descent remain subjected to institutionalized racist policies and procedures that arbitrarily stop, frisk, arrest, brutalize, and even execute black people. Now, see, I have a problem with that. And this is what, you know, dovetailing of what the captain just talked about, is I don't think every black person is going through this stuff. And when it goes down, you go down into educational levels, into economic levels. There's stats that show the converse of what this outfit is talking about. I remember seeing something recently where they talked about those who are of a certain educational standard in the black community, they seem to have less dysfunctionalism. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it, on some level? I mean, you're not really being subject to the same stress or the same collateral damage that those who are caught up in these situations that we're talking about are. Now, based on what Captain said, I mean, there's truth. There's such a thing as exceptions to the rule. There's the rule, and then there's the exception. The exception has it where, on occasion, you will hear some person that was at the wrong place at the wrong time, and their life ended tragically. I remember, I think Sergio could probably remember this, a few years ago in Chicago, there was a African doctoral student that was a few weeks away from getting his doctorate. I believe it might have been in chemistry or something. And I believe he was young man, 29 years of age, from some country in Africa. My apologies for not remembering the exact country, but some country in Africa. Weeks from getting his doctorate, and he was accosted by a 17-year-old thug who killed him in cold blood. He was unarmed. He was being robbed. And now someone who was on track to do something spectacular, he's gone. Now, that's what you talk about. But it wasn't as if the doctoral student was the problem. It was the 17-year-old young man that looked like him that was the problem. So I just think that, and, you know, I'm not going to dispute that, okay, yes, cops are killing black folks. But I would really be hard-pressed to think, or it would be hard-pressed to think, that the numbers would be commensurate with the black-on-black violence. I just don't see that happening. Matter of fact, behind the scenes, and a local story here in New York, this just happened, I believe, within the last day or two. Three men were killed in a barrage of bullets in Queens, a few miles from where we're broadcasting now. From now, three men were killed. They said upwards of, I believe, 63 shots. Captain, 63 shots from AK-47s just right on top of three young men that were leaving a nightclub. Now, the irony is, and this is where it gets even more just crazy. These kids, I can't even call them kids, they were young people in their late 20s, early 30s. They were allegedly coming from a club in Brooklyn. Someone looked at someone else's young lady, I guess, the wrong way. Jealousy, whatever. Young woman might have been attractive to someone. A young man looked at the young woman in some way that may, I guess, the paramour or the boyfriend made him jealous or angry. So because of a look at a young woman, they followed these three men 11 miles from the Brooklyn Club to, I guess, near the Queen's residence and shot them in the middle of the morning, I guess 4 o'clock in the morning, three men wiped out. 63 shots from AK-47s. Now, once again, Captain, it's reprehensible. It's tragic. But they are aiming at a specific target, theoretically. And yet, you don't think that if you're in this residential neighborhood, that 63 shots couldn't result in literal collateral damage? You know, daughters, sons, fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers, uncles, aunts, I mean, you name it, pets, what have you, loved ones, are subject to this kind of foolishness. And yet I'm supposed to really believe that the police people, that the policemen, police officers, that they are by and large the problem with all this rampant black death. I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is, I guess. Anything else on that, Captain? I mean, I'm just...
Well, let me just add in. You see, black people are black people. And now I'm going to say this, and whoever has a problem with it, too bad, you can email me. Niggers are niggers. And this, let me explain to you why I'm saying this, all right? Because niggers hate other niggers. They hate each other, okay? You hate yourself. That's why it's so easy for you to waste the next black man. And that's what it is. It's wasting. You had a situation with that particular person, all right? You developed psychotic behavior over it. That's the first thing. That's a whole other situation. That's something you should let go. So what? He looked at your girl. Big deal. He looked, okay? Forget about that. But look at the shots flying all over the place. You have no respect. I repeat that. No respect for life whatsoever. You understand? You're not running around shooting white people, as they say, the man. I'm not saying that's what you should go out there and do. We don't advocate that here at Afro Nerd Radio featuring Captain Kirk. Not at all. That's not what you're doing. You're shooting and killing your own. And it would not necessarily been your own, because most people on the street can't shoot a gun at all. They can pick it up, they fire it, but it doesn't shoot where it's supposed to go. You have no respect for your own. You have no respect for yourself. You have no respect for the next black man. That is a nigga. I repeat that. That is a nigga. And that's the meme that we aim to kill here at Afro Nerd Radio featuring Captain Kirk. There's nothing to discuss. That meme has to go. There's nothing to discuss whatsoever. That meme, that ideology, that theology, it brings you nothing at the end. Nothing whatsoever. It has to go. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
All right. You know, we only have about 6 minutes remaining, Captain. Again, folks, this is a special Tuesday broadcast where we were expecting MC Light, iconic hip-hop lyricist, and for the second time in a row, it did not go down, which is honestly, and our listeners know, when we say we get somebody, you know, that they're coming through, oftentimes we will get them, or, you know, if they're going to commit to something, 90-something percent of the time they would come through. This time, I don't know what's happening. I don't know. So I left a message with her people. You know, I'm not going to go that much deeper into it, because we have our own thing here, too. We have our own sense of legitimacy, Captain. So, you know, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I want to commit to, okay, she'll come through again, and we do this a third time. I don't know if I can even risk that. You know what I mean? Hey, there's more folks, more iconic lyricists on the horizon that we could get to the show. Excuse me. Pardon me. But, hey, I wanted to speak to her from the female perspective, to be honest with you, because the female lyricist, the female hip-hop artist, appears to be unabashedly missing from the hip-hop musical landscape. We only see one. You know, during her emergence, during the late 80s, early 90s, at least there was a handful. Maybe two handful of hip hop lyricists. You could name a number of female hip-hop lyricists. Now, the video vixen has taken the place, I think, of the stalwart female MC. You know, now we see Nicki Minaj, and she's an offshoot of the video vixen to me. She has a penchant for these hot, sweaty Caucasian hair hats. Folks, it's almost, you know, 90 degrees today. You know, God forbid you wear one of those things. They're Caucasian hair hats. Yes, I said it. They're toupees. I'm just saying. I know she's got a shtick. So does Lady Gaga. But I think it's a little deeper when it comes to sisters, though. So it's a little deeper. I said it. Check out Chris Rock's Good Hair, by the way, that documentary. Explains a lot.
Excellent.
We got about three minutes. Quickly, what's the deal with Jeremy Lin? I did want to talk about that. You know, as an Afro nerd, I was not necessarily into sports, not really a sports head. But I know the captain has noticed that in the last couple of months, since the arrival of this young man, Harvard breeding, no tattoos. he made it more attractive for me to pursue basketball as a hobby, to look at it and to get into it, to look at it like, okay, I kind of get it now. But with the neck tattoos and the aberrant behavior and the fake macho behavior, the fake posturing, you know, Gilbert Arenas bringing loaded weaponry to locker rooms when you have $100 million contracts, you know, when you hear that, it turns me off. Honestly, it turns me off. When you hear a young man that wasn't supposed to make it, has a degree in economics from Harvard, and is able to knock some boards, I pay attention. So now we're hearing that Jeremy Lin may be signing with the Houston Rockets. He may or may not. What's the status right now?
Well, I think that deal is like 60% done, you know, 60%. But just because it's 60% does not mean it's actually totally going to take place. But that looks like that's where he's headed to. Looks like that's the situation. He was hot for 9 games, and I think those 9 games are going to get him a $35 million contract. So I would absolutely say that's great for him. You have to take the money because, again, you know, maybe he wants to stay in New York and everything else. You know, there's a big Asian community here in New York. But the reality of it is basketball is a very short career, meaning which that it's a young man's game. Once you get old, you really can't play anymore. You know, some guys are hanging on. They're doing very well. You see Kevin Garnett, who came in the league when he was 18. He's 36 now. You know, he'll be turning 37 a little bit later on. They hung on pretty long. But most people, you know, by the time you get to about 33, 34, you're done. You're done. You're done. So when you get the opportunity to make money like that, you have to take the money. You have to take the money. So we'll see what happens. We'll be following this, you know, and we'll just see what happens. It'd be nice if he could stay here in New York, but hey, you know, the young man has to make his money. Back over to you, Sir Afro.
You know, we have a caller. We only have about a minute remaining. Let's see what's up, and then we have to close the shop. Caller, welcome to Afro Radio. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from. Oh, that person just snapped off. Okay. All right, folks. It's been real. We'll do it again on Sunday. And actually, that's our double feature show, after featuring Captain Kirk, as well as the Comic Shop. It's been real. Again, our apologies for our guests, but, you know, I'm sure we will hear something. But the show must go on. All right. This is Drummers and Healers by The Family, a.k.a. F Deluxe. See you guys. Thanks again. The